This week's episode of Tsunami of Latinas will not be seen and will return next week. Stay tuned as WSWN brings you the following live presentation of the Shining Whistles Wrestling Podcast.
The Shining Wizards Podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. Opinions expressed by the host and guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the podcast or its affiliates. Content may include adult language or themes and is not suitable for all audiences. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Wizards Podcast, episode 8-10. Grab a coffee, get a nice Taylor ham, egg, and cheese, and join us for a Labor Day edition of Breakfast with the Wizards. Tonight, our soothing voices will cover some Sunday night main event. Plus, you'll hear some thoughts on AEW as they come off of their biggest show ever. In addition, JCW homework and so much more. So let's get into it with some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Rondo.
Tony.
Handsome Kevin.
Bruno, I got one question for you.
What's that?
Is this a nighttime breakfast?
Did I say that? Yeah.
You said joining us for breakfast, and then you go, tonight.
I even wrote down tonight.
It's a breakfast for dinner, Tony. It's a breakfast for dinner.
I love breakfast for dinner.
Yeah, dude. It's like, Bruno, you go to the diner, like it's always breakfast or nothing, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%. Every diner I go to, whether it's like Connecticut, here, they always have some good breakfast stuff.
Yeah, you got to go breakfast every time you go to an IHOP especially. Like if you go like to an IHOP or a Waffle House, like a franchise kind of place, you got to go for breakfast. That's their bread and butter, you know?
Yeah. I was very sad the IHOP by me burned down.
Yeah, I don't think they're rebuilding that thing, to be honest with you.
It was still busy on weekends.
Always busy.
Mornings, but yeah.
But still, like, how do you sit out for, like, what? It'd take at least a year to replace the thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, when I drove past a couple of weeks ago, there were still, like, pieces of the ceiling on the floor. So
let me ask you, like, I'm not too familiar with any new IHOPs being built anywhere. And I'm just curious, like, do you know if the IHOPs nowadays, like, don't look like the IHOPs of old with like the blue roof and everything like that? Because if it's something where they have a new design, maybe it's worth it. But to try to build like the old design again, like, I don't know, man. I don't know if it's worth throwing money into that.
I really only see that I can think of. I know of like three IHOPs. There's one close by me in Teaneck. It's too small, but it has the old design. There's another one all the way up 17, old design. So,
yeah, the only one I know of that. With it. There was one that I used to go to out in Queens when I lived there. And yeah, it was the old blue design on Queens Boulevard. But there's one in Newark that's on Broad Street, but it's like in a building. So like, of course, it doesn't have like the old like blue awning and everything because it's, you know, it's like the first floor of a, you know, like a mixed use building. So, but that's the only one just because they stuck it in there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of sticking things in there, HK, how's your weekend been, buddy?
I'm back, motherfucker. I can't tell you, how happy I am to be here, to be with you fellas. I've had a good weekend. Last week was shit. I've had a good weekend, so I'm happy to be here. Everything's looking. Look at everything's working. I'm moving. I'm not freezing. I'm not coming in and out. Oh yeah. Outside of that, great weekend. I got a tattoo. New tattoo, right? That's always good. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's
wrestling or
nope. It's you know, it's
what is that? It looks like a saber-toothed tiger.
It's not. It's
the Power Rangers tattoo.
See if I can. I got like a bison gimmick there with some mountains and raven and a squirrel and geyser and shit. Just a little nod to the trip that I went down with my wife and my best friend.
To forever.
You should have said nevermore before you got that tattoo.
Accurate.
Sorry, Tony.
Just to remind you of all the assholes getting out of their cars to try to get pictures of bisons and bears. Yeah. Did you get anything on there to fucking put up your fucking blackberry ice cream or whatever? Huckleberry ice cream?
Huckleberry, yeah. No, I tried to work in a huckleberry in the design, but it didn't quite work. Part of it was like I was going to put the huckleberry where the bison balls would be because I thought that'd be hilarious. And I was like, yeah, maybe a little over the line.
No hats on the bison commemorating.
No, I thought about
no it. Lids logo.
But like it starts getting too busy, right? Because you got the bison, you get a squirrel, the geyser, the mountains, the trees, it ends up starting to be a little bit too much. I'll send you guys a picture of it. You can see for yourself here.
That's cool as hell. Brenda, how's your weekend been, buddy?
It was fantastic. Saturday, head out to Harrison, New Jersey. Hung out with Double T and the Monies and Jersey Cal Jesse, a few other people, and as I say, saw Anthrax, Megadeth, and Iron Maiden.
Yeah, I kind of wish I was at that show. I was on the other side. I was at MetLife for the Ed Sheeran concert, and I tell you what, though, he puts on a good show. It was a little boring in spots, just because it was like, ugh, another song that sounds just like the other songs. But the talk of the weekend was Macklemore, and I don't want to bring up politics, but if you're really interested in a fucking rabbit hole to go down, Google Macklemore, Ed Sheeran. You'll fucking learn a lot. The other great thing was I found out that the St. Joseph's Feast was in Lodi over the weekend. So the wife and I took a ride over there. You remember, you're familiar with Lodi. You remember the old Kmart Plaza used to be? There's like a K-pot there now and shit.
Yeah.
Picked up an Abruzzo fucking shirt. I got my kid a shirt that says, "Don't be a chooch."
That's awesome.
I came home with my wife picked herself up a limoncello shirt. It's a cute little yellow shirt. It's got lemons on it and everything. And wound up going home with some Zeppelis, a sausage and peppers. It was good times, man. It's good times. I can never pass up a carnival when it's nearby because I got to get me a sausage and peppers.
Yep, and absolutely Zeppelis too. Every time Zeppelis. I go to one.
100.
I need a shirt that says "Don't be a chooch." That's something I need.
Fuck! If I would have known, dude, I would have brought one out for you.
So that was one of the things like I introduced to my friend group when we were in Mexico was calling each other chooches. So, like I was sitting there, I was on like my third piece of pizza, and I was eating at that point just to make a fucking spectacle out of myself. I grabbed another piece of pizza and jammed it in my mouth. Like, you're having another one, and like mouthful. I was like, yeah, because I'm such a big fucking chooch. Everybody's calling each other chooches the rest of the... So I need a "Don't be a chooch" shirt. I gotta find one of those.
Shit, if I would have known, I would have picked you one up. I could have brought it out to you next month, you know?
They make this thing called the internet. You could probably offer get one off of.
Oh, real quick, one last thing about the concert, right? So, like, the second guy that performed, I don't know, he was, like, I don't know if he was Dutch or something, but he kind of sounded like a country singer. I mean, his music was fine, but the thing that surprised me was he had a shirt on that said, "Welcome to New Jersey," and there was something in the middle. And we were all the way up in the 200s, so we were kind of far. It was cool, though. We had great seats. They were in the shade. It was kind of below where we sat for the football game a couple weeks ago, like underneath there. So we had shade. Like, we kind of had, like, we didn't have every kiosk, but, like, we had, like, kind of private shit. So, like, you can get food, water. There were private bathrooms. It was kind of neat, actually. We lucked into that. But the musician, I forget his name, the middle of the shirt, I couldn't make out what it was. It looked like a building. And I got my fucking camera, and I zoomed all the way in. It was an image of the front of Satriali's. From the Sopranos.
That's awesome.
That's what I said. And then I went online looking for it. I couldn't find the shirt anywhere. I'm like, this motherfucker, that's such a cool shirt, you know?
Yeah.
It was really
I gotta say, I've never seen any of the bands I saw. Anybody ever has a chance to see Iron Maiden, go see them. They played for almost 2 hours and just every song felt different. Their stage show is amazing. The lead singer still sounds like it's 1975 or whenever he joined the band.
Well, plus you guys had a good crew going there too.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't sit with Matt and them. I was me and a few friends of mine were sitting like the 100s. We had a straight on view. It was awesome.
Was Uncle Meatloaf there with you?
No, he was not. If you ever go to, I think that's one of the first concerts they ever put on in that Red Bull Stadium. If you ever go there, leave freaking early and expect to leave late.
Oh, yeah, we got fucked.
So bad.
Dude, we got fucked leaving the stadium, dude. Like, we were in the car, and, like, we literally just sat in the row where we pulled out for, like, 25 minutes. And then everybody was going one direction to get on Route 3, and I was just like, fuck this. So I went around the mall, and I got on the turnpike for one exit. I said, fuck it. I just bypassed everything. It took me an extra 3 minutes, but I didn't have to take my totally chances sitting in traffic. Yeah, it was worth it.
We ended up going back to Matt and Rhiannon's car, and just we hung out for an extra like 45 minutes, hour or so, just because nobody was leaving. So why sit in your car, hang out with good people?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that venue, like, for the longest time was just used for, like, MLS, you know, just for soccer stuff. And I was kind of like, you know, even a smaller place for, like, a SummerSlam or something like that. Like, if you don't want to run MetLife, you can run that. It probably seats about 25, you know, like, if you got people on the floor, maybe 30. So it's a big outdoor venue, but it's not super big. But, yeah, the parking around there sucks. There was one night when I was working in the city years ago. I got back to my car. It was probably around 10:30. Just in time for the Red Bulls game to be fucking leaving. And it was like, it must have been like an important game because the place was packed. So I literally was getting out of work, fucking exhausted, getting into work for 7 a.m., leaving late. And I had to fucking sit in my car for a half an hour just with all these fucking soccer hooligans waiting to fucking leave. It was terrible.
Yeah. Even though I left like so much later, I still sat in my car as long as it took for me to get home as soon as I started moving again on like 280 or whatnot.
Yeah, man, I loved going to shit, but, like, I remember years ago when we went to Mania, I think it was 29, it was the Cena Rock main event, and fucking Eddie and I looked at each other, and we were just like, let's get the fuck out of here. We walked right out of fucking MetLife, we walked through the parking lot, we heard the 1, 2, 3 as we were fucking starting the car, we were out, man, we were out. I went back and watched that main event, too, and I'm fucking kind of glad we left early.
Yeah, I did that when I went to Slayer last year. My son was exhausted, so I was like, all right, we'll stay until I hear Rain and Blood.
Yeah,
heard that. They played two more songs after that. But the way we were in Hershey, so the way it was, we still heard the rest of the songs
we
were leaving. And we beat all the assholes out. So we just got right on the road and
got
back to our hotel.
Especially for us, like, you're close enough, I'm close enough. You know, like, Harrison's like 15 minutes from me. The Meadowlands is 15 minutes from me. So, like, it just sucks to have to sit in traffic knowing your home is, like, right there, you know?
Yeah. And when I showed up, I told Matt, I was like, or before I showed up, I was like, oh, I'll see you in, like, 10, 15 minutes. And when I got there, he was like, yeah, I knew you were full of shit. It's, like, 40 minutes later. But yeah, good weekend. Absolutely good weekend.
I guess there was some good wrestling this weekend, too. Maybe.
Was there?
Was there?
I don't know. The holiday weekend, it's always weird. You know, like we all had shit to do, family stuff, fun stuff, non-wrestling related stuff. But I don't know. Where do you guys want to go first? Anybody watch JCW?
Yes, I did.
I saw two clips.
And I go with JCW first just for the fact that we actually had real finishes this week.
That shocking, blew my right? fucking mind.
A whole bunch of them, too. No lack of shenanigans, mind you, but plenty of like real fucking like 1, 2, 3 finishes.
It's so hard to get into JCW like on any level that makes me excited to watch the show. And like it sucks because like I'm screaming for him, like, give me finishes, right? Stop giving me a 2.5 hour show with 8 minutes of wrestling and no finishes. Well, then this week they give me finishes, but I'm still just fucking disappointed in the show.
Maybe it's not the finishes.
It's at this point, it's like, good point, Brundle Fly. They're in like a can't win situation for me mentally, but I'm going to keep fucking watching. I can't give it up. I can't do it.
You said that about AEW. Now you don't watch it anymore. So JCW's on the time clock.
Right? Yeah, on the clock. For sure. I don't know, Tony, did you particularly like something out of JCW this week?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, at least we didn't get much with the fucking Mama Lukes or whatever the fuck you want to call these assholes. And I did like that Vito was trying to fuck with Sally Boy, and then fucking Precious Paul comes out and he's like, "You got a problem?" And he's like, "Sally, let's take this guy out." And Sally walks out, and Sally's in with the Juggalos, bro. He's like, "I'm not saying I'm a Juggalo yet, but, you know," he's like, "the Juggalettes are a nice perk. I kind of like the Faygo juice." So maybe there's something there with Sally Boy. Maybe we're finally going to get that shaking of the walls inside the fucking Mama Lukes.
But wasn't it like just a little bit annoying, at least when like Vito's like, "All right, we're going to do this." They're in the fucking bathroom. He takes off his coat and the cameraman fucking leaves. And all you hear is like the smashing and the bag. Like, why would the cameraman leave when these two are about to fucking fight?
It makes
no fucking sense.
I thought the same thing. And then I laughed about it. And I'm like, because why fucking not? This is JCW. And I was like, you know what? I was with you there on the aggravation, but then I was like, it's JCW, and I was okay with it. It was just like, all right, move on to the next.
And those GCW ass clowns show up. And that's another thing. Oh. They did the like the beatdown to the cameraman. It's just so fucking stupid. Like, it's just so stupid. And then like they did the shot where he's stomping down, and you're supposed to believe that he's stomping down on a head, because for some reason I'm seeing the world through the eyes of the cameraman.
Yeah.
And he's stomping it's fucking silly, man. It's so the GCW guys can go away. Like, they're not enhancing.
No,
they're not enhancing JCW at all. And like that Lauderdale does, "We're here to boost the ratings." Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, no, enough with the ratings nonsense. Go ahead.
It's so weird too, because they did this a year ago. Like, they JCW invaded GCW, vice versa. The Yabo and Rabo were the fucking the tag team champions in both at times. I think Busted in the Brain. They flipped around other titles. Like, I was at a GCW show. I almost got run over by the JCW guys invading. And they paid it off. They paid it off at, like, Cage of Survival the previous year. And then now they're just going to do it again for some reason.
So I was on the treadmill this morning, and I was flipping through, and there was this thing that said JCW Breakdown. And I was like, did they do a special fucking show? Like, all right, I'm in. Like, I gotta check this out, right? And I click on it. It was like, we'll start in whatever 10 minutes or whatever. So I'm like fast forwarding through it, and it kicks off. And fucking what's that jackass? Emil's in the ring, yes. and his dirty white shoes and carpenter pants announcing. And I'm like, why in the fuck? Okay, so now they're doing like a GCW thing right now, in like. They're really blowing their load already on this. I'm waiting. And I look down in the corner of the TV, Jersey Championship Wrestling. Yep. I was like, you motherfuckers.
That was in my hometown last night.
Was it?
Yeah. That was at the Mecca. They always run the Mecca.
the mecca.
They got me. Yeah, I was that fucking pot. Like, I don't know. I thought they confused the shit out of me on that one. Kerry Morton faced the backseat boys.
Yeah, not a fan. Challenge. Not a fan of this. Not a fan. Yeah. Because now, like, you've been touting the Graysons as, like, former tag team champions. They're back. And then you just fucking squash them. Like, I mean, it's not a squash, but still, like, 2-on-1, nobody should be winning. I used to hate that shit when it was like The Rock or Stone Cold in a fucking 2-on-1. Or God forbid, 2 against the entire fucking SmackDown roster. Remember they used to do that shit?
Yeah. You know what? You know who wins 2-on-1? Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
That's fucking it.
If or even Hulk Andre Hogan. The Giant,
fuck off.
If it was Hulk Hogan.
Even Hulk Hogan.
But against like
70s,
two,
early 80s Hulk.
Yeah, but like two smaller than average fucking Mexican enhancement talents, you know?
Jose Estrada and Johnny Rods.
Be Mexican.
Yeah, Jose Estrada and Johnny Rods are getting squashed by the Hulkster. So, actually, not even. Probably like fucking Pedro Guerrero and fucking guys like that. You know what I'm saying?
Pedro Guerrero playing for the Dodgers at the
That's
time?
Right. Didn't he save OJ? I don't know why that name came into my head. Wasn't he involved in OJ shit?
Who was that guy?
He wasn't the driver. AC Callings was the driver. But I remember Pedro Guerrero came up a few times in the trial.
Did he really? I did not
yes,
know
he did. He might have killed Guerrero. His wife too. I don't know.
If HK, if you're still playing 162-0, if you get a chance for 80s Dodgers Pedro Guerrero, take it.
It's okay.
Super guy.
Yeah, I kind of put that away. I have enough other things going on right now that are aggravating me. I don't need 162-0 in my life.
Speaking of things that were aggravating, on the opposite side of the spectrum, Danny Moe teaching the fucking zombies how to pick up women.
That's one of the things I saw. That was entertaining.
Bro, and they fucking, when she tells the one fucking asshole to go try to talk to them, and he's like, and they all fucking run away screaming, and she's like, work on that. Oh my God, I fucking pissed myself laughing.
Oh, that was so good. I'm sad we didn't get to number 5 on the chalkboard.
Oh, good. Ask them if you could eat their ass.
No, it was show butthole.
Show me your butthole. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah, ask first.
Yeah, ask first. Did you see the fucking picture in the crowd that I sent you guys?
Oh yeah.
The fucking
what was that? A Kerry Morton something? Or
no, it was it here, let me find it. It was Caleb Conley P sitting down.
Oh, that's just like eating corn the wrong way. That's funny anytime you use it.
I like Madman Pondo as a referee. I didn't like what fucking happened in this tag team match where he pretty much just beats the shit out of fucking, who was it? He was beating up Caleb Conley outside and then the fucking Caleb's team still fucking wins. Like,
yep.
What the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, he's beating the shit out of Caleb Conley and then turns around and runs back into the, runs back into the ring to count the 1, 2, 3. It's like, make any damn sense whatsoever.
To be fair, I'm like 13 years younger than Pondo, and I'm not running anywhere these days, too.
Yeah, but I mean, look, if you had to, you could probably put a little hustle in your step. But
yes.
Yeah, but also, Pondo needs to fucking lay off wearing the baseball caps or the do-rags or whatever he's wearing, because the fucking from his eyebrows up was completely pale on his fucking head, and the rest of his head looked red as shit. I do like his shirt. It's so funny. Like, you see Madman Pondo, you think of him as like this fucking, like, legendary hardcore wrestler who like cut himself up, cut other people up, and he's wearing this fucking red and black sequin shirt. It's like it doesn't fit him at all, but it just fucking cracks me up.
I always like that when deathmatch guys do that. Like Ricky Shane Page in the height of his deathmatch stuff always wore from the Tina Belcher shirts of butts and butts and butts coming out there to do electrified barbed wire and light tubes and shit wearing a butt shirt.
I kind of like like him in the shirt.
No,
like,
I do.
If you put Pondo in like a regular JCW referee shirt, it doesn't feel the same. But like him and whoever that other jackass is that they put in like a special sequence ref shirt, like I'm kind of behind that
because he's like the senior official. What the fuck's his name? It's not Jeff the ref, is it? What the fuck's his name?
I think it is Jeff the ref.
Is it?
I think so.
Let me see what else happened. Oh. Hokane calling fucking Barnabas a pussy.
That was fucking hilarious. I did laugh at that. And he is a pussy. Fuck him.
So like he fucking feels bad for what he did, but he still accompanies Hokane to the ring. I mean, is she dragging him out there? Is that what the thing is? And then he's trying to help her win on top of it. Like, he doesn't like her. He feels bad for what he did, but he still fucking grabs Big Al's leg. Like what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Like Brundle Fly alluded it to it earlier. It's who's writing the shit.
and it's funny too, right? Because Cocaine comes out to save Big Al and Barnabas, and Hokane jumps in his arms, and then Cocaine choke slams her and saves Big Al again. So like, we still have this whole fucking love disaster going on, and it wouldn't surprise me if Barnabas like maybe hooks up with Hokane just to throw a little fucking more Russo on top of Russo.
100%.
He's gonna, because it's not really his daughter, right? Like, it's like his quote unquote daughter. I could see them doing that shit. We're going back to Stephanie and Vince.
Or
God, daddy's what little did he girl.
Do? Ric Flair was supposed to bang in 2000. It's supposed to bang Keebler while Keebler was with
David. That's right.
Flair.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They had
wasn't he also supposed to be fucking Lacey Evans's baby daddy too?
Yes, yeah. And then she really got pregnant, and that was the end of that. Good for her. Good timing.
Speaking of pregnant, we didn't hear anything from the Mr. Happy and Sluts McGuts fucking family either.
I doubt we will. I bet that just fucking fades away. They don't even touch back. It just goes away. Wasn't she pregnant? Forget about it.
It was all a dream. Mr. Happy woke up and he was boffing his fucking stuffed animal. That still cracks me up, dude. Thinking about him putting that fucking bear on the table and fucking humping it. Goddamn, Sam Stackhouse must be having a fucking ball playing Mr. Happy.
Oh my god, yeah.
I don't know. What else was there in JCW? So they've also been doing like this run back because episode 100 is coming up,
September 24th.
Yeah, and they're doing like a special. I don't know if it's a town hall, but they're doing some sort of like in-ring interview with Violent J. Like before that happens, I guess to kind of like, you know, go back and think about like the past 99 episodes for JCW. So I don't know if he can get a coherent thought out, maybe it'll be entertaining.
You think bro will show up for this or no?
No, he's on assignment, but he's backstage, you know.
Fucking asshole.
That shit cracked me up too. Oh, Vince Russo couldn't be here tonight. 10 seconds later, who's behind the curtain? Walks by, looks out to the crowd, and keeps on walking.
He should keep on walking off a cliff.
Oh my god. But JC, dude, it was fun again this week. I enjoyed it this week.
There wasn't anything that like I wanted to just absolutely maul my own balls because of. You know what I mean? Like, I was happy that they gave us some finishes, but I am in that weird spot where like I just don't know if they like they're in a lose-lose a lot of the time when I watch them. Like, I love Kerry Morton though. Even though I didn't like that he beat the backseat boys there 2-on-1 in under 5 minutes. Kerry Morton's always going to be just gold, right? The guy's absolutely a stud. So hopefully he can build on it and get, you know, he can get somewhere else. Hopefully.
From the time he started in NWA to now, like he's actually like filling out, putting on some muscle, getting in better shape. So yeah, I completely agree. Kerry Morton's a fucking stud. Like he's going to be much bigger than what he is right now.
Yeah, I sure hope so. Is size going to be a problem for him, you think, Tony? I mean, he'd have to go to like AEW, really. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but like AEW would be a good fit for him. You know, he'll fucking come out and he'll fucking lose his first match as a fucking 25-man scramble for some nonsense. And then he'll fucking start jobbing a Persephone on fucking Dynamite. and then he'll go to Ring of Honor and he'll promotions and big boom in AJ every fucking pay-per-view. And
dude, that's the spot you want to be in. You're always on the W side.
All right, fair enough.
Kerry Morton jobbing to Percival is fucking beautiful.
Speaking of jobbing, Choppa City made an appearance too. The Headbangers fucked them up and they were like, stop us. We're going to get them belts. And, you know,
I'm just so happy to see the Headbangers in any capacity at this. Like, those guys are awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah, so I thought they were done though. I didn't realize they were still working.
They I was on a show with them last year, I want to say. They are much bigger dudes than you would think. Like they are, they are big men.
Oh yeah,
I feel
for
like
sure.
Anybody in that attitude area or attitude era time.
I got some attitude area
bigger
dude. Fly.
Yeah, I bet you do. Like even if you look at like X-Pac or whatnot, you stand next to him, always looking up at him. Bigger dude than you would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't make them like they used to.
Nope.
Is that everything for JCW?
I mean, anything else? Really? Not. I mean, James Storm, Josh Bishop, who gives a shit, right?
I don't know. Joel Gertner is just not doing it for me, man. Like, I don't.
No, which is a shame. And I think for me, it's more the pairing. Like, Bishop doesn't need a guy like Gertner. In my estimation, I think Bishop can do this all by himself. So to put a mouthpiece like Gertner next to Bishop, which doesn't enhance either one of them. Like Bishop can run the stick just fine on his own. He'll be able to get himself over just fine. So when you have Gertner out there and like the contrast of the two characters is way too far apart for them to seem even close to cohesive. So when Gertner cuts his promo, all Bishop is doing is standing there and he was like fucking wiggling his tongue over and over and over and over again. And like, he just did not stop. So it became distracting at that point. Like it's just, it doesn't work for me.
Well, I know Bishop was trying to get something out or say what Gertner was saying at the same time, and then Gertner went in a different direction. So then Bishop didn't know what the fuck to do with himself. So he's just kind of like, blah, 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 you know, like that's where that came from. But okay. I think what they're going for and what they're trying to go for, and it's just not working. Gertner was always with the Dudleys, and then Bubba broke out on his own, cutting his fucking like promos that would just rile the crowd up. Mm-hmm. And I think like maybe they're trying to like recreate that here because Bishop is just such a fucking monster, but it's just not working. It's just not like and Gertner's not the old Gertner. They're trying something new with him, and like I don't know, man. Maybe it works for people who don't know the old Gertner, but for me, it's just I don't know, man. It's just it's not working.
All you gotta do is flip over to MLW, watch Josh Bishop on there. He feels like a freaking star.
Yep.
Like this week, did you watch MLW this week?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. I gotta say, his main event with Karrion Kross or Killer Kross, whatever he is, absolute must watch. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I think Bishop is gonna be in the big show. Like I don't think he's too far away. You know, I mean,
I think TNA should throw a bunch of money at him. They have short term contracts.
TNA should throw a bunch of money at anybody. Well,
good point. But you know, like their roster is still kind of a little bit depleted. You know, sign up with Josh Bishop for 6 months to a year.
Yeah,
have
yeah.
him go over there and be a freaking monster.
Yeah, and you get a free Sam's Club membership too.
Hey, but that puts you in the eyes of the WWE if that's where he wants to go.
No, absolutely. You know, yeah.
Instantly fly over there to NXT.
Yeah, he seems like that'd be a good spot for him.
Yeah.
WWE seems like the spot for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he'd do just fine in AEW, but he might get lost in the shuffle a little bit. So
isn't that weird to think like it seems like AEW has a much bigger shuffle to get lost in than WWE does. Like at this point, it just seems like there is way too much shit on that roster where you throw more at it. You are absolutely going to get lost in the shuffle. And we're at that point now where in my mind, like, it seems like I would think you'd rather go to WWE than AEW just in general. But like to want to go to WWE versus AEW, to think that AEW you're definitely going to get lost in the shuffle, or WWE you have a chance not to. Like, that's a weird thought.
I think it's two, because there's three different brands on the AEW or WWE, you know, SmackDown, Raw, and, you know, to an extent NXT as well.
And AAA. So
to throw the... Yeah, AAA as well.
Yeah. Yep. Now, what do you think, Tony?
I don't know, man. I haven't gotten back into MLW, but I agree with the main, you know, idea that Josh Bishop should be a star, like 100%.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Hey, since we were all upset about Kerry Morton beating the Graysons in under 5 minutes, what do we think about Little Yachty surviving for 5 minutes against Baron Corbin?
Fucking hated it. I hated it.
I wanted to hate it at first, and I'm going to pivot with my hate And I don't know if you guys are going to like it because, well, I'll get to it. So Baron Corbin, like, he's got to fucking beat this asshole in under 5 minutes or the other asshole gets a title shot. And he hits him with what? The deep six, the end of days, whatever fucking two finishers he does with the spinny loopy doopy shit.
The end of days, the most protected finisher besides the one wing angel of all time.
Yeah, but what's the other one he does? The deep six, right? He does the deep six, he does the, and then he does the fucking the one wing fairy. And then like he doesn't cover Little Yachty. So like we know where it's gonna go. And I was kind of okay with it because like, at first Little Yachty's trying to run away from him and shit. And then like his boys were getting involved trying to drag him away. So like I was okay with it, but it should have been like something like that if Corbin was a face. I think it would have made more sense, right? Because then the shit heel is trying to run away and the face is trying to get the title shot. You know what I mean? Like it would have played a little better if it was Trick going after like Corbin's henchmen. Like if we're going back to SmackDown in the 2000s and JBL and all that shit. Like, but I was kind of okay with it. What I'm not okay with is like, I don't know, man, fucking Wade Barrett during this match and the whole show. God, he's so fucking annoying. Fucking terrible. Like, he feels the need to tell his story every time something happens. Sometimes when shit is in the heat of the moment, fuck the story. Call the action. Don't pepper in like, well, he was a young lad. He had the fuzzies on his belt when he was growing. No, shut up. Like, I don't care about the belt. He's trying to hit him with the belt. Just say like, oh, man, he's like, This is bad intentions or, you know, give me something to fucking pepper in there. Don't give me a story about the history of the fur on the belt. Come on. And he didn't do that, but that's an example. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I was so frustrated with this, Tony. I didn't, you could have told me that Bobby the Brain Heenan was calling this motherfucker. And I was so furious while I was watching this. A couple of things right away. Why is Corbin working from underneath against Little Yachty? Why is that a fucking thing?
Yeah, that's right? What I mean, right?
They did a lot of silly.
They did a big job of telling, at least at the last event, how like legit Baron Corbin is. How he, you know, he does Tough Man or BJJ events.
Yeah, jiu-jitsu. He's a jiu-jitsu champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apparently Lil Yachty has his number. Like, you're out of your fucking mind. The whole thing was so aggravating to watch. Now, the way it would have worked for me and been okay working is if Corbin beat the piss out of Yachty for 5 minutes and 45 seconds.
Well, 4 minutes.
And then for the last 15 seconds, Yachty gets a couple of shots in and escapes, right? He escapes, and then you can get the match in. But the thing that pissed me off is that Yachty's on top the majority of this fucking thing. And then they set up, and what does the face do to survive the clock? A low fucking blow. The face low blows the heel to survive the goddamn clock. I was irate watching this. And then we get the match, right? The U.S. title match happens right then and there. And then the music hits. Trick doesn't come running down.
No, he doesn't try.
No, he's got to spin around on his, he's on a fucking lazy Susan. Go fuck yourself. Jesus Christ.
Man, I'd love to be on a lazy Susan right now.
I was so fucking pissed off watching this. Like, I don't understand it. The face shouldn't be low blowing the heel. The guy that's not a wrestler shouldn't be on top the majority of the match of the guy that is a wrestler. And the face who comes out, who's going to take advantage of the situation, should show a little fucking urgency.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Oh my gosh, man. So, I almost stopped watching like after match A. Like I was almost like, no, you know what? I'm going to go watch more Jersey Championship Wrestling. Fuck this.
Yeah. But dude, we also get like Baron Corbin fucking hits him with the belt, hits him with the finish, all the kickouts, all the nonsense. Trick fucking comes back, hits his one move and that's it. One, two, three. Like
horrible.
Yeah. Like, if you're going to take me down the kickouts, which I fucking hate anyway, but if you're going to take me down, like, the guy keeps kicking out of everything, continue it or fucking, like, let Corbin hit him with, like, a couple less things. Like,
right.
Trick Williams is not fucking Superman. Trick Williams lost to this fucking guy at SummerSlam. You know what I mean? Like, so now Baron Corbin's starting to look like a bitch.
Here's how I would have done the Little Yachty thing. 5 minutes, or basically 4 minutes, 50 seconds, Corbin's kicking the shit out of him. Yachty gets absolutely nothing in. Corbin looks at the clock, notices 10 seconds left, hits his end of days, being like, okay, I beat this guy's ass for the full 5 minutes. But when he hits his end of days and he goes to pin him, Yachty's leg under the rope. And he ref sees it, goes, oh, can't count, and Corbin all of a sudden runs out of time. That's it. Too. He doesn't, yeah. Yachty gets no offense on WWE's Baron Corbin and fucks himself by mistake.
And you do the bell rings at 5 minutes and he gets up thinking he got the pin and he's and the referee throws his hands down. So this way you get Corbin fucking irate.
Yeah.
And then he wants to kick the shit out of Trick and he does. And then because he's so angry, he fucks something up and Trick fucking steals the win.
That's right. And you don't need to hear. Bah, 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 bah. No. Just get to the fucking ring.
And yeah, but they did that shit because it's Atlanta. It's Trick's people. Whoop that Trick. You got to get the crowd into it right away.
Do it after he wins.
During the match for his fucking comeback.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like when he's doing the stomps in the corner and they're saying whoop that Trick. That's the perfect spot to get the crowd behind you.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised by this because I really thought Trick was a front runner for Money in the Bank. Now he's US champ again. Who knows?
Yeah. Didn't like it. And that's a lot. That's a lot right away. Like in your opening match of the card, that was a lot of bullshit to slam into that can.
Did you guys watch the opening concert?
No.
I saw enough concerts this weekend. I fucking skipped that shit quick.
Yeah.
Freebirds?
Close. Well, okay. He was free. I got halfway into the Bron Breakker Obafemi match. I kind of got the spoiler as to what happened like at some point near the end or after the match. But I don't understand. So like Paul Heyman going into this, like he likes both Brock and Braun. Like, is that a thing?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Did anybody watch the rest of this or like,
yeah, I watched the whole thing.
I didn't watch any of it.
So what happened for the ending of this thing?
I just went to no contest because Bronson Reed showed up. It looked like Oba was gonna kind of put Bronson in his place, and then Bronson.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Came out of the audience there with a chair to the back of Oba, and then they just they demolished Obafemi.
Was he dressed like a woman, like fucking Adrian Adonis?
No, or like the Taskmaster.
No, remember that was the famous main event. It was the first time Hogan and Orndorff touched after the whole thing. And Hogan was going to pile drive Orndorff and Adonis came in and fucking waffled Hogan. He was dressed like a woman. And Jesse goes, some fat sweat hog from the audience.
It was like, I don't like the whole concept of them. Like, they even had Paul Heyman with the introductions going,
yeah,
this is going to be the future. This is silliness. This is just silliness. Just let these guys have a match. Like, this is an exciting match for everybody to watch. You don't have to put fucking extra seasoning on this match for me. And being like, whoever wins this match is going to be the future. Well, no, you're fucking wrong. Right? You can't just say this match is determining who's the future. That part of it pissed me off.
Well,
the finish, though, I thought was interesting. Having Theory come out and then having Paul come out and then having come out. Who was that?
Maxine Dupri.
Yes. Her and Nux and all that kind of stuff. The one part like in the finish that was a little bit disappointing was Bronson comes in the ring and it looks like Oba was ready to get hit. And there's a slight delay and maybe it might be just people like us to pick up on it. And then you kind of see Oba like look over his shoulder, like, why haven't you hit me with the chair yet? And then he turns back to Bron Breakker and then he gets hit by the chair and they annihilate him. Like Bronson Reed hit like 4 tsunamis and a couple of spears. Like they beat the shit out of Oba. Pretty nice.
Tsunami of Latin ass was amazing.
Yeah.
And again, fucking Wade Barrett rears his ugly head during this match when they're going fucking, or maybe it was Michael Cole. I don't know. They're two jackoffs where they're going, Obafemi's only been in the business for 4 years. He's still a youngster. And like, no, you're making him a monster. Stop telling me he's only been in the business 4 years. There's no reason for that. Yeah. It's not Javon Evans. Yeah. Like if it was Javon Evans and you're like, oh, this youngster, he's full of fire. He's only been doing this a couple of years, but look at all, like for him, it makes sense. You know, yeah. Oba's a fucking monster. He's a machine. He's a fucking wall that you got to try to run through. You're going to get crushed by him. Don't tell me he's only been here three or four. Next thing you should have told me, oh, he already lost to Trick Williams. Like, what the fuck? Stop. Stop it. Stop. There's no need for that shit. Two fucking monsters. You want to tell me that fucking, that Bron Breakker played for Alabama? Great. That means he's a fucking machine. He's a varsity athlete. He's a fucking All-American. That makes sense.
Well, they did make mention of where he went to school, and it's not exactly a factory of athletes that come out of the Kennesaw State.
I mean, I've heard of Kennesaw State, though, you know?
Right, like, but you're like, if it was Michigan or Alabama or Ohio State, like, sure, Auburn, right? Tell me. But when you're like, who went to Kennesaw State?
I was
like,
well, you know how you twist that, HK? You say he is the son and the nephew of Michigan's own, you know, like the Steiner brothers. You know what I mean? Like, build him up that way. He's fucking second generation. The fucking the machine is in his blood. It's in his DNA. Give me something like that. Tell me he's bred of monsters. You know what I mean? Instead of fucking saying, oh, he's still green as a fucking pepper tree. Nope.
From the peak of a genetic freak, right?
Yes.
Bingo. There it is.
Yeah.
Rondo and I are both writing.
Yeah.
the six gal tag match was nothing. Like, every time I see Misha, this is going to sound horrible. I'm going to say it anyways, I don't give a shit. Every time I see her, I'm just shocked. She's made it through every round of cuts. Like, every fucking time. Every fucking time I see her, I'm like, she survived another round? Like, possible. I don't see it. I don't see it. I love Tatum. I actually think that BFAB's not that bad. Cargill, really? I think Cargill is, I think she got to a point where we're like, man, she's really getting a lot better. And then I think she might have plateaued and maybe took a step back. I'm not. She's got to keep working on getting better. She's got.
But I mean, that's okay though. If you train her the right way, you know, like she could, you know, you could get a lot out of her with like the minimal shit that she can do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm not saying she could, like, she should be an Andre the Giant, but she should kind of be closer to that stratosphere than rather than like the other women that could actually do like a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, she's not going to be a Charlotte Flair. You know, maybe make her a China. That's all. Yeah.
And I think that I actually think that Charlotte Flair needs to, she might need change of scenery. Yeah. She has been on the decline for a while and there's nothing left for her to do where she is. Absolutely nothing left for her to do. Like, I don't know. I don't need to see her anymore. Right. I don't think that I've been entertained by her for a long time. And anything that she does there, like, I know with Alexa Bliss, you've enjoyed that, Tony. I get it.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot for her, for the two of them, you know?
Yeah, but yeah, I think it's coming to an end at this point, too.
I think
are they building? I mean, I don't really watch SmackDown, but from what I could see, it feels like they're building towards maybe Alexa being a little jealous of Tatum with Charlotte, or, you know,
something's going to happen there.
Backstage. Something's going to happen there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, like I said, I think Charlotte's been. She has progressively gotten worse for a couple of years now. And I do think that some type of a shakeup for her would be positive.
You think like a move to Raw or would even help, or fresh coat of paint?
Yeah, I think, I mean, a move to Raw could potentially help. A move to AEW potentially could help. You know what I mean? Like, just get something else going for her. I wouldn't mind if she fucking took another year off. Really. Go away, right? I'll see you around next time. Don't come back with being the queen again, right? We've seen, we know you're the queen, right? But I'm over it. So, and then it was Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes for the main event there. Yikers!
It was no good. See, I would be interested in seeing that match.
Good. I would say ref bump twice.
Whoa. So we got cleaner finishes on JCW this week?
That was my thought as well. Yeah, we had more clean finishes on JCW than we did on main event. Two ref bumps, and automatically in my mind I go, we're doing another ref bump in a main event. It's enough.
It's the Cody Road. It's what they do. Main event, whether it's Cody or Randy or Punk or any of those guys.
Randy bled. He bled real nice. It was an emotional story that they were trying to tell, and I get that. I just think that it could have been told, I guess, differently, maybe more effective if you didn't have all the extra bullshit around it. Like, Brandy was there and Mama Rhodes was there. They didn't get really too involved. Randy getting cut and open, like that added an element to it. Cody was going to hit him with the punt kick, and that's where they really kind of drawed him in. But like, I don't know that you needed the ref bump to get to the punt kick. You know what I mean? Like, Charles Robinson didn't need to get smushed and obliterated to get to the punt kick for Randy to beg for, you know, Cody not to give him the punt. You know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of elements that were there. And Randy and Orton being
stupid baby face Cody Rhodes. Randy gets something over on him.
Not gonna, you know, he pulls back. He wasn't gonna kick him. Not gonna kick him. And then the low blow where Randy gets both Cody and the official at the same time. You know, it was just a little bit too much. Like, let me focus in on the story that they're trying to tell there. Like, will Cody snap and fucking get that killer instinct, right?
How many years have they been telling that, though, too?
Well, it's got to happen Cody sooner snap. Or later, right? So
how many months have we been saying that?
Well, how long did it take for him to finish his story? There's another part of the story here, right?
Oh, man. It's like War and Peace.
Could be. Yeah. Could be. War, what is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
Fucking hands.
I don't know. I'm like, I think Cody did a great job in the moment when it looked like he was going to snap and give him the punt kick. Like, they kind of had me there, but overall, I'm so tired of seeing ref bumps and goofy bullshit in wrestling matches. It's just, like, I need that palate cleanser at this point. I need to go back and watch some 80s and early 90s wrestling.
Was that a segue into something?
Nah, not at all.
Oh, I thought we were going to homework already.
I mean, I was going to say, I fucking watched The Raven Effect. Have either one of you fellas seen this documentary?
I have not, but I have wanted to for a long time. Raven is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. And just anytime you get to hear him talk outside of wrestling, like, it feels like you learned something, or he always makes it interested or whatnot.
Very, very interesting documentary. I watched it on, I think, like Roku channel or something like that. It was almost 2 hours long,
I think.
Yeah. But it was free on Roku.
Okay.
It was so worth the fucking watch. His delivery and his sense of humor. His sense of humor is something I didn't realize was as top notch as it is. And like his delivery and stuff, he talks about like when he cut Tommy Dreamer open, and it was the first time he cut Tommy open. Like, he cut anybody open, and he was just coast to coast with him. And Raven was like, Tommy, trust me with everything. He goes, even if it's going to fail. And he paused for a second, fail spectacularly.
I think that picture was in like the back of the magazines forever of Tommy just covered in blood. You like open up the back of an After Mag and, you know, there's an ECW advertisement, and it's just Tommy just face full of blood.
And they go from like his childhood straight through to present day. And that's probably why it's 2 hours. A lot of focus, obviously, on ECW for obvious reasons. But there was just so much. He talks about being in the hotel and having him and Perry put on what they call the Rhino.
Yes, I've heard.
You heard about this?
I've heard both him and Perry talk about this.
So they get a slip and slide, and they put on the Rhino, which is a dildo that gets strapped onto your head. And the girls are at the end of the slip and slide naked. And the goal is, as Raven says, he goes, the goal is to get the Rhino inside the woman. He pauses, he goes, and I suppose if you were able to do that, that would be worth a lot of points.
When Perry talked about it too, he was like, before all you people think we're abusing women, as soon as we got it in it, she's like, what are you doing? Keep going.
Fucking such a fun watch. Highly recommend it. He talks a lot about his family. I didn't realize his dad was such a big deal. Had no idea. Didn't realize that he held such a high position over at Titan. Like, I knew that he held a position. I didn't realize how high of a position that he held over there at such a young age. Super intriguing to watch. So if you do get the opportunity to watch the Raven Effect, it's certainly worth your time.
Good shit.
I feel vindicated by Raven. And I'm sure you guys know from the history of the Wizards that Raven wanted to leave the interview. He wanted to go walk his dog because he felt like I wasn't paying attention and that I was asking about him and he and Tommy Dreamer winning the tag belts on the Dudleys last night in ECW. So he was kind of calling me out for not paying attention. I'm trying to pull it up right now because I want you guys to see what I'm talking about. I don't know. He did an interview recently with the Major Figures podcast.
I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen the clip of that.
All right, HK, do you know what I'm talking about?
It's how recent it was within the last like year, wasn't it? Maybe. It was a while ago.
I don't know.
So, I forget the exact what happened, but I remember that there was a happening at the time. Yeah.
All right, so I'm gonna try. I'm gonna see if I can't get this to come up. Let me see. Did this come up? All right. Yeah. So here we go. I'm gonna play this. I guess I got to hit play on the screen. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not focused in. I was trying to figure out how to download it, but I couldn't get it. So here we go.
Wasn't there a third member in your crew at some point?
Yeah, it's Mark. He's right there. He's running the controls.
I'm hiding.
No, another guy.
Swoggle was like a mascot. Are you talking about Hornswoggle?
No, not your... who was the guy?
Edge?
No, I'm talking about... There was a guy who did a... I forget. He did all those YouTube videos. He got over and in New York, wouldn't push him.
That was me. Holy shit.
Shows how much I watch.
Yeah, Matt was Zack Ryder in WWE. Is that what you're looking for?
Ah,
yeah.
Yes, that's what it's.
Yeah. There is a spot in the documentary while you watch it and he is talking to Layfield JBL at a convention, and he was like, "Hey, you remember that time that we were out there and then you guys almost came and almost like beat the shit out of the Sandman? Do you guys remember that when he's right to JBL, when you almost beat the shit out of Sandman?" And he's like, "That was wild." JBL's like, yeah, that was wild. And Raven's like, "Yeah, Sandman's right there." And Sandman was standing right behind him. Fucking hilarious. Wonderful. Yeah, he might be a little bit loose in the dome, but
yeah, he's specifically said, I think he has like Parkinson's now.
Okay,
but like all the drugs he's done over the years and whatnot, and he was like in WCW, him and Saturn were like 1A, 1B on the death pool or whatnot. Yeah. So yeah,
yikers.
Yeah, oh well, whatever.
Anybody watch Dynamite this week?
No, I did not, Brundlefly.
I mean, I assume you watched the, you watched the pay-per-view. I assume maybe you would check out the Dynamite afterwards.
No, I when I was putting in all the banners, though, I did see that they decided to, like, everybody got a title match this week, the week after the pay-per-view. So that was pretty cool to see, right?
Yeah. I mean, they had the Trios titles match. That was a lot of fun with the Rascals and New Level and Strickland and whatnot. I had a blast watching that. Badass Mark Davis got his title match. And I don't know. But I think they did a great job this week. I was a big fan of it. They had United Empire come in and, as I say, and have a team with Osprey, and all led off to the main event of the pay-per-view coming up. Jon Moxley and Will Ospreay.
Oh, that's right. They have another pay-per-view like next week. Yeah.
No, oh, at the God, end of really? The end of September. So they got a couple of weeks to build it up.
But I'm more excited for episode 100 of JCW than I am for the next AEW pay-per-view.
That makes one of us.
Tony? But,
all right, that makes two of us.
I mean, I can only my lead can only go so much further past five matches, right? I mean,
I mean, I'm excited that this week, if you're going to watch Dynamite, this would probably be a good week to hop back into it. They're doing the Rebel Heart special. So they're it's a complete, like, you know, benefit show for Rebel. They're going to have her on with the waiting room or whatnot, a bunch of other matches announced. So, I mean, if you're going to watch AEW, this would be a good one to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess for that reason, I might check it out there, Brundlefly. But that's the only reason.
Yeah, that's fair.
I do like Tony. That HK's not watching AEW anymore.
why, Tony? Why do you like that?
I like it. I don't know. It just, it
I mean, you hated it for so long. I always said, don't watch what you don't like. So now you're doing it to yourself with JCW.
Yeah, but it's wrestling. Just enjoy it, right? Just enjoy wrestling.
Hey, I enjoy AEW. So it's the show for me every week for 6 years.
Was this week the week that everything's in Mexico for the WWE?
Probably, because Penta's wrestling What's-His-Nuts on the 14th next week.
Next week.
Should be for some fun stuff.
So and I think we got Stephanie Ricard tonight against, what's-her-name? Fucking Jersey Liv. Girl. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we got her against Liv, and then they're doing Money in the Bank matches.
Hey, is Puerto Rican China still the IC champ?
Yes, she is. She beat the...
You're talking about pancake tits?
Pancake tits.
IHOP Rodriguez.
Jesus Christ. You guys, I got to teach Double T how to fucking record the after show, because I'm sure you guys had some gems last week that you wrote down and they just fucking went into the ether.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, there was a couple.
I'm sure there were more than a couple. It's just Double T's got the same software I do, so I'm gonna throw him under the bus. I just got to teach him how to use it. So AEW, Jersey Championship Wrestling, WWE, MLW. Yep. What else we got? Oh, yeah. I mean, is there anything? Oh, I mean, I guess since we're AEW, we might as well dovetail tragedy. Andy Williams passed away, and not the guy from the fucking. Bee Gees or whatever the fuck his name is. Andy Williams, the butcher.
Yeah.
48 years old. Did we ever get a story as to what happened? Was it a heart attack? Was it
it was a heart attack.
I'm not really sure what happened. Like I didn't dig too deep into it. I did see that there was news sources. I'm gonna use that as loosely as I possibly fucking can, that were releasing like the 911 call and stuff. And I was like, that's fucking disgusting. Like, it's just, that's a little hideous. Like, how long has it been? Like, let the family rely. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's hideous. Was it a Fightful thing that did that? Was a Fightful thing, wasn't it?
No, they didn't release any of that stuff. That was TMZ.
Okay. Yeah.
Ringside News was another one that announced.
Yeah. Well, they've proven themselves to be trash.
Yeah. They announced that he passed away the night before, and the guy from Enjoy Wrestling, the show he was on, responded to them being like, no, he has not. I'm at the hospital right now with him.
Yeah, it's just that's disappointing.
It's sad that this guy is such an amazing guy. You see all the outpour, all the nice things people have said, but, you know, instead of celebrating him, it brings out also the worst in other people. Something like this, too.
Yeah. Unfortunate, because it was an indie. I forget the name of the company too. It was like a 5-year anniversary.
Enjoy Wrestling. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, enjoy it, bro.
Their last show, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, they ended the show.
Yeah, they cut it off right away.
Rough. It's rough stuff. I mean, I'm not super familiar, and I'm not going to pretend to be super familiar with his work, right? At all. And my only experience as far as he goes in my world is seeing him in AEW. That's it. Nothing else. I know nothing else about the guy. But I have heard enough people say, even prior to this, right? And that's pretty telling too. When you hear people say stuff while he's still here about what a good person he is. And then, you know, after he passes, obviously there's been an outpour of more people saying, you know, what a solid person he was, what a good, you know, just what a good human being he was. So it's disappointing. 48's that shit's too young, man. That shit's way too young.
We also lost a legend this past week. Superstar Bill Dundee also passed away. Hey, he had some health problems going on for a while, right?
Mm-hmm. I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a legend in Memphis wrestling, his teaming and feuds with Jerry the King Lawler, legendary stuff. He also had a couple of cups of coffee, I think, at WCW, where he was part of like William Regal's crew.
Sir William.
Because
he was Steve Regal, so.
Yeah, and then it was Sir William, and then the Earl of Eaton.
The Earl of Bob.
Also,
Bob of Earl.
One of the biggest things he did, and he wasn't even in front of the camera, the like 84, 85 years of UWF, or Mid-South, their biggest years. Bill Dundee was the guy with the pencil.
Yeah.
He took a lot of the Memphis wrestling stuff, or Watson Cornette always say, like, he took a lot of stuff from Memphis wrestling that would be throwaway on house shows, made it serious, they put it on TV, and all of a sudden, like, a blindfold battle royal goes from, like, a funny ha-ha thing to one of the most dangerous wrestling matches you could have. And Dundee, that was the top years for Mid-South, and Dundee was the booker at that point. So,
and
great wrestling mind.
Gave us one half of the PG-13 tag team.
Yes, Jamie Dundee.
That fucking nut job.
Oh my god! He's somebody I would love to have on the show, but I would be worried the whole way through.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
By the way, point double T because of Bill Dundee.
Yep.
So I think who's tied? Somebody's tied with him.
Me and double T. Yeah.
Yeah. We have six in the fucking death pool this year. That's insanity.
Jesus.
Yep. And September just started, folks. Got quite a few left to go. We'll see what happens. Speaking of happenings, I've been getting recommended this video on Facebook for the past 2 weeks, and I've wanted to bring it up. There's a pro wrestling company out of France called Banger Zone Wrestling. They did something this past week called Water Mania. This is fucking.
Oh yeah. Yep.
I've seen clips of that. Yeah.
Dude. All right. For those of you who don't know, they pretty much like, I guess, went to a fucking pool. It looks like an Olympic pool somewhere. And they set up a wrestling ring on fucking floaties. And they had an entire show called Water Mania. And fucking, I know Donovan Dijak was on the show. Dude, this fucking
was he really? I didn't realize he was on the show.
Yeah, he had a match, dude. It's so it's crazy. So there's a battle royal that I keep getting recommended, and like when everybody's standing on one side, like the ring just kind of tips up, so they all run to the other side, and then like they're doing backflips and topes and shit like into the water on top of each other. Like it's so silly, but it just looks like so much fun.
Yes,
it looks like something like a bunch of us would do, like if we were in college. Like, hey, let's get a fucking ring and just fucking put it in a pool. Yep.
100%. Yeah, I saw that a couple weeks ago, I want to say. But like, it was just like a cut up of the show. And now the spot you're talking about where everybody's on the one side of the ring. If they don't move quick enough and that ring goes over, end of show, right?
Yeah. Like,
that is end of show if that ring sinks.
I mean, yeah, that's dangerous stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you come over. It looks like you so come over fun. And you're underneath a ring.
Yeah. Yikes, man. I want to know how, like, I would love to have been there for Ring Crew. just to see, like, just to see the fuck, like, the ins and outs of how they set up the ring on the pool.
Yeah.
I got a spot here. Somebody is doing a suplex off the edge of the pool through a table that's on two floaties, and everything just fucking collapses. It's fucking hysterical. It really is.
Tony, did you ever see the old FMW did a show, like, on water, I think, once, or at least one match. Did you ever see that one?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I don't remember much about it, but I do remember seeing it, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't seem like the ring moved on that one. Like, the only thing I could really remember is Mike Awesome slamming somebody into the water, and then explosions happened. They made, like, exploding water or whatever.
I need to get this whole show. I think it's on demand somewhere. I forget what service that Banger Zone Wrestling uses, but yeah. Oh, they have their own VOD on their website, bangerzonewrestling.com. Huh. You know what? I'm sure there's a gimmick out there somewhere we could get this thing. It just seems like so much fun. Holy shit. Anyway, speaking of fun, if there's nothing else that we could talk about, we can get into homework and actually watch it live with everyone.
Live homework.
It was so long.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I could tell you this much, and I know Double T really didn't really sell it well last week when he talked about it. So there's a long-running wrestling program out of Argentina called Titanes en el Ring, Titans of the Ring, obviously. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty revolutionary if you go back and, like, spend some time. Like, they started in the late 70s, and, like, they were also known for the fact that they not only created these, like, crazy wrestling characters, but they were also, if not the first, one of the first promotions to actually not only use wrestling entrance music, but had music tailored for all of their wrestlers. So, like, when you watch the video here of at least the big star, the focus of the video, they had music that was created specifically for them. And this is, like, the late 70s, early 80s. So this is long before, like, Eye of the Tiger and, like, Bad Street USA. Like, this is pretty wild considering this came from Argentina as well. So the combatants in this match are El Diablo, which I don't know much history of. I'm sure it's somebody else on the roster that just put on a devil costume. And I know it says Diablo, like, in the description, but it's your different interpretations of Spanish. But the main character here is a fella called El Pibe Diez, which is, like, the boy 10. I don't know why they chose 10, maybe because it's supposed to be a young boy. But the purpose of the character was it was supposed to represent, like, youth, agility, entertainment, like kind of like a free spirit, like a child would be, like, where, like, the world is their oyster and they're not, like, bogged down with, like, all the other nonsense in the world. And so, like, this original fella that we have portraying El Pibe Diez in this first video, the actual homework. His name was, fuck, of course, I can't find the information. Jose Maria Fernandez. He was, like, the first guy to portray El Pibe Diez, and he's the guy that we're going to see in the actual homework taking on El Diablo. And it's a lot more than just a wrestling match. There's a lot of entertainment that goes into it. He has an entourage that comes to the ring with him, and it's pretty entertaining. Now, the reason why I brought this to the table was not necessarily this match, which I had never seen before, but I figured it would be a good introduction to bring you the next step of El Pibe Diez from 1983, which was, like, portrayed by a different character, maybe more well-known. But, yeah, so we'll get into the homework first. You guys have any questions, by the way, before we get started?
This sounds like Bucks type of wrestling, by the way.
That was the first thing I thought of. I figured that was going to, you know, come out, but.
How did you stumble across this, Tony? That's my question. Cause, like, I went down a rabbit hole of, like, old French wrestling when they had, like, the springboards and shit like that. It was super fascinating.
Seen that too. Yes. Yeah. That was one of the things I was considering for homework.
But, like, how do you stumble upon this and then get us to this homework?
So I used to listen to the Jim Cornette shows, you know, like the drive through the experience. Yeah. And his co-host Brian Last actually brought this to the table, because for a while they were having Jim just, like, watch these, like, silly wrestling videos. Like, I know they watched Antonio Inoki versus the Great Antonio, which is a pretty famous one. And the video they watched was actually pretty famous. It was from 1983. And it was El Pibe Diaz taking on Pirata Morgan. I'm sure that name sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah.
And it's famous because it doesn't last too long. And El Pibe Diaz, like, almost was El Pibe Muerte. But we'll get to that. And that's kind of like what put Titanis on my radar. So, like, periodically, like, when I have nothing else to do, like, I'll go back and watch some of this stuff. But El Pibe Diaz was kind of like the focus just because of that spot, that match. But we'll get to that. So that's kind of like what put this on my radar. Yeah, like I said, I never watched this before bringing this to homework. It was kind of like a rush thing, but it was something that was on my mind. So that's why I sent it to Double T last week. And I think it's got its own entertainment value. We could talk over it, pause it, whatever you guys want to do. But let me just finagle the gimmicks here.
Yeah,
we'll take away the background so this way it's not annoying us. Let me bring the first video, which was the actual homework, to the table. Let me load this up. Yeah, this is it. Yay, it's from Argentina. Look at all the fans are so happy. And I guess this is our host, Juan Pablo. Juan Pablo, Salsicha Gigante.
He seems pretty important.
I mean, he is. He's you know, he's the commentator. He's the guy bringing it all to the table.
Do you call him the sausage of Argentina?
Yes, the sausage king. He's the ape Roman of Argentina.
Ape Roman, yeah.
Oh, there's El Diablo.
The first thing I thought of when I saw this guy is, like, this guy should be a in a movie that's on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh my gosh, it reminds me of those puppets. The fucking
yes.
I can't remember the name of them now.
I what know what called? You're talking about.
The fucking, yeah, son of a bitch. Bitch.
What's he looks puppet? Like he looks like Lady Elaine Fairchild from fucking Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
That's gonna bother right, so here, me now, HK.
Here we go. Here comes El Pibe.
Nice overall.
All right, so he comes out. He's going to be hugging all the kids, giving them kisses. They all love El Pibe Diaz, and looks like El Pibe Diaz loves his entourage because, my goodness.
Jesus.
This is what the early 80s Argentina has to offer a young fella.
He's got a harem.
Not bad.
And they announce all the girls by name. Ibani.
I guess it's good to be Diaz.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And he's doing a little kick in, a little backflip. Oh man,
he is so like agile. It's ridiculous.
I got to tell you this much. I stopped it. The 70s outfits with the women with these fucking like these like spandex tops, mod on like we say in Italian.
He almost who's the guy from the 50s and 60s, the ballet guy? He almost has that vibe.
Oh, I know
Edouard Carpentier.
Yes.
Yeah, it almost has that vibe.
But I mean, the music is El Pibe Diaz. Like, it's his music, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I guess this referee is supposed to be somebody important as well, because, like, they focus on him quite a bit.
Look at those hands. What the hell is he doing?
I don't know. I don't fucking know, like, what this is supposed
crazy
to be.
Jazz hands.
I thought he was going to fucking get an electric chair here, but El Diablo is like giving him the fucking horns, right? Like,
oh my God. If he could pick that guy up in an electric chair, my goodness.
What type of puppet is that fucking called? Golly.
I'm going to Google it. I've given up.
Did you look at the fucking nose on that devil?
I mean, he's a devil, man. He's not supposed to be handsome. So, like, I don't know. I guess he was going for a waist lock there, and PB just kind of flips out of it. Like,
yeah.
Referee, oh my God, fucking Aubrey Edwards' grandfather here. Really fucking leaning in on this one.
They got the commentator over the loudspeaker?
Yeah, I guess they do, right?
Yeah.
I didn't really think about that. Uh-oh, he's got him in the ropes. Give him the old what for. Yo, and the harem is not happy. They're like, what the fuck's going on?
Well, I mean, if you were in the harem, would you be happy?
I mean, maybe. It's Pibe Diaz.
Good point.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, like, the ropes is kind of like a boxing ropes, but don't seem like that canvas gives too much either, right?
No, no, it doesn't. I mean,
and he kicks him in the left 80. Leg, and then he kicks him in the right leg. Fucking Terry like Funk sound. Here with the roll through. Holy shit.
I like the sound you get from the canvas stuff.
P-Bay was kind of looking like he was going to grab a chin from the back, but then he couldn't reach. Oh. Notice the referee didn't give him a rope break either. Like, what the fuck?
No.
No, this
maybe
referee...
they'll do that in Argentina.
And what is the referee doing? Like what the fuck is he doing? He's like, I don't know.
He perhaps sold his soul to the devil.
And the fucking birds are cheering on P-Bay. P-Bay with a little bit of a flip. Look at that. Fucking head scissors, man. See, now the broad should be smacking the devil. And oh, the devil went back to the horns, man. That's his
why, but why does the devil do... He's got horns on his head. Why is he doing fucking finger horns?
Maybe
he's already got horns. You don't need double horns.
Rubbing his hands. We'll see a punk action. he had a full Nelson, but he goes to the fucking... To the chin lock. Now he's got a choke going here.
P-Blay looked like he was about to put somebody in the Father Nelson during his entrance.
I don't know. Is he hitting him in the throat? Is he hitting him in the chest? He knees him. I'll tell you what, though. And look at that. No sell. Just grabs the leg. Takes him over again.
All that adrenaline.
Oh, through the ropes by the birds.
Yeah, I thought they were going to go after him at this point, but the ref helps him again.
We're getting fucking skin the cat back in there. I guess not.
Look at those goddamn ropes.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this is probably just a boxing ring.
Yeah.
Dude, that canvas. There's no fucking give on that canvas, man.
That's why all the luchadors fucking do the rolls. Because the Mexican promotions have the hardest rings.
Hey, this is Argentina, man. Don't be racist.
Good point.
I tell you what, P-Bay, man, he's got some skills. He keeps shooting the legs. Oh, he's going up.
Dong.
Knee to the head?
Nice. I think that was the dong to the head.
Nice botch, Jeff Hardy.
Wait. So wait. The referee didn't even get down. He kind of like waved his arms. We got to rewind.
If that
this,
guy
right?
gets down, he's not getting back up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all right, there's the knee to the head.
Yeah.
And he kind of just covers, and the referee just kind of waving his hands. I guess that's it.
I think he's just counting.
Yeah, the crowd cheered.
Yeah.
What the fuck is he shaking for? Is he like, I know, I can't get down, whatever. Hey, here come the broads.
Yep. Yikes.
Oh my God.
Somebody said that in Texas in the 80s, Bronco Nagurvich, or one of the old refs, he wouldn't get down for the pins. They just count on his hand.
Well, I mean, is it necessary, really?
Yeah. It's tradition.
Yeah, so True Prince of Rome.
Wait, the ref is dancing with
the devil.
Told you, sold the soul.
Yeah, but he's still fucking lost.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know. He's got better moves than I do, that's for sure.
My God, I would take any one of these fucking Argentinian broads. Jesus.
Taking them up to the playhouse.
All right, so it's 82. You think they have straight razors in Argentina at this point, or these girls are au naturel? Bro, this fucking referee, by the way, holy shit.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you could tell how much give that ring does not have at that point.
Yeah.
So that was the homework. Yeah. So I was bringing up True Prince of Pro brings up that Lucha Fuerte was another promotion. Yeah, as a matter of fact, if my remembering of the story is correct, a lot of these guys wound up splitting off and going to Lucha Fuerte, including the next version of El Pibe Diaz. He went over there and he was like the White Ninja or something like that. But yeah, so I guess even in Argentina in the 1980s, we had rival promotions battling for your hard-earned dollars, whatever the Argentinian money is. I don't know, pesos or dollars or whatever. So this coming up is the more famous El Pibe Diaz clip. This is what kind of put him on the map. He is not portrayed by Mr. Fernandez. He's actually portrayed by, let me see if I have it here, Hugo Quiril. Yeah, so this guy I think is a little more animated, a little more what you would think of when you hear El Pibe Diaz. Let me pull this one up. This one lasts even shorter than the last one. So this is El Pibe Diaz, 1983. Which is how it was referenced, against El Pirata Morgan, Wait, you're having trouble sharing this video. What the fuck? Really? Oh, come on. Wait, if the file's invalid, wait, what the fuck? All right, I'm gonna have to. Fuck! No, this is annoying now, dude. Oh, maybe because it's open here. Hold on, let me try one more time. I will get this by hook or by crook. Fuck, it's not working. All right, talk amongst yourselves. Give me a few seconds to get this one.
No, it's kind of funny. So, this new computer. Sorry, run a flag. I'm getting a little thrown off here. New computer, right? New setup. Everything's running smooth. Love what's happening here. Homework going well. Nothing. None of the comments have shown up for me yet.
Oh no.
No.
Do you have your side panel open?
Yeah.
Are you not getting any of the comments?
Do you have a show comment or no? That wouldn't do anything.
Like I said, I didn't do a shitload of troubleshooting before. I just wanted to make sure that I was connected and everything was running so I wasn't losing my mind again, which obviously everything's running smooth, looks great, feels right. But no comments yet. So I got there's a little bit of troubleshooting left to do. That's for sure. But the homework, Brundlefly, we didn't get to thumbs up or thumbs down. I want to know where
you. Oh, yeah, good call. That.
You know, I'm going to give this a thumbs up. I was entertained throughout this. It was quick. It was fun. It wasn't offensive in any way, you know, so it's hard. You can't give something like that a thumbs down. So thumbs up, Tony. Good job.
I'm going to give it a thumbs up, too. Anytime you bring a harem to the ring, you're getting a thumbs up from me. Also, like fucking the nads that he's got to have to wear a fucking dick skin fucking overalls to fight in, like hats off, man. Good job to him. So yeah, I'm and the referee, like I didn't love at all throughout the while we're watching this, but the animation that he showed, like you can't get mad, right? He's selling. So I didn't like that part of it. Now I say that the ref was selling selling what he was doing. Nobody else was selling the match. That was kind of a disappointment. So I'm going to give it one. Gets one. Doesn't get two. Gets one from me.
Yeah. I'm going to say Double T is going to give this a thumbs up, too. I'm going to put words in his mouth.
Just I'll words?
Yeah. Just words. I'll leave the other part to you.
Oh, I loved it. I mean, as stupid as some of the wrestling was and like how bad the selling was, like, the overall entertainment value on this thing was through the roof. The dancing, the birds coming out, the fucking referee and the devil dancing together at the end. Like, it was fun shit, man.
I mean, this is something, like, you're not going into this, when I assigned Samoa Joe and Kenta Kobashi, you're not going into this match or comparing it to that. You're going into this to be entertained. And 100%. We all were. Yeah.
All right, let me see. I tried downloading it again. Let me see if I got this now. Okay, here we go. We got it. Okay. We're back in business. So this is just a little bit of a dance in the beginning, but like you'll see, like this is a different fella portraying El Pibe Diaz for this video. Doesn't last too long, folks, so keep an eye on things.
This guy almost looks like Richard Simmons.
He's got his little alien horns on, his like little antennas on too. All right, so here we go.
Is that the same fat ref?
I was going to say the same thing.
Same ring announcer too, I think. El Pibe! Here he comes. Doing the kicks. Girl's a little younger than last time.
I think those are children.
Yeah. And if you notice, he's not coming out to his El Pibe song. He's coming out to Situation by Yaz. You'll recognize it when he starts dancing. Hear it?
Oh, yeah.
I guess they lost the rights to their own theme music at some point. Oh, he's doing maybe the splits. Look at this. Backflipping and splits. Yeah, this guy's all about it, man.
I don't know if I want to do a split in that ring.
I don't know. Like, it always amazes me how a guy can do that jumping splits.
Like, yeah, it's crazy, right? Like,
yeah. Like, what about the package?
Yeah. Well, they got the guy on the New York Mets right now that does that after he gets a strikeout.
Who, Enrico Palazzo?
I forgot his name.
How's that for a rest? You know, come on, dude. Naked Gun.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
All right, so here we go. Dude, this guy can fucking dance.
Yeah.
I remember an interview one time where Stuttering John asked James Brown about that. He said they're not down there too long so they don't get hurt.
He would know.
All right, here we go. Fucking Al from fucking Fonzie's restaurant over there, fucking referee now. All right, nice sell on the drop kick there by Pirata. And signature head scissors. Don't blink.
Oh! Oh, man.
No.
I mean, fucking Peralta's just trying to yank him off the mat.
Oh, my God.
He's dead.
Yeah.
I wish I knew how to read Spanish. It's probably like, Dios mío es muerte.
Yeah.
Notice the crowd how quiet they got.
Did you just make us watch tragedy, Tony? Is that what happened here?
No, he's fine. He survived. He turns out okay. Like I said, he does a lot more in the business after this, but I wouldn't put a fucking snuff film out there for everyone. Here, let's watch that again. Shit cans him out. Wait, let me see if I can get this. Wait. Yoink!
Oh, no.
That is not good. So this is what we call a scorpion. It's when your heels actually hit the back of your head when you fucking land.
Yeah.
And of course, now Pirata tries to catch him. He does a fucking terrible job, by the way. And what's the first thing you learn when somebody fucking lands on their head? Don't move them.
Yeah.
Mr. Morgan fucking, I guess he was spending a lot of time with the captain in the back. Yeah, let me try to yank him up.
1983. Nobody knows anything at this point.
Yikes.
Yep. Now look, there's all little kids like around there too, right? Like, could you imagine the fucking horror they're feeling watching this?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so this is the video that brought this to my attention.
My goodness. So I learned about a botchamania at some point.
So I learned about Titanes in El Ring from El Pibe Diaz almost dying on fucking national television in Argentina.
And they play him out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well,
yikes.
What are you
going to
do? I give that thumbs up.
Yikes.
Holy shit.
Don't give that thumbs up.
No,
that's bad.
Who's up for homework this week, by the way?
Brundlefly.
It would be
Brundle!
Me. All right.
What do we got, kid?
Let me find it.
Uh-oh.
So we are going just north of where we were. Well, a little bit more north than where we were. Ew.
Ew.
Clip that one, Matt. To WCCW, January 19th, 1985, we are going to be watching Ric Flair versus Terry Gordy for the NWA title.
Okay.
Just something that came up on my feed. I love watching old wrestling like that when the fans were still super into it and prime Gordy. Should be a fun time. I got it on YouTube. It's about about 20 minutes or so. So I'll shoot it over to you guys.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all. I like the choice. Like the choice.
I thought about a Dundee match at this point, but I couldn't find anything that really tickled my cockles.
Now, I'm sure, next time we do a morning show, we could watch Memphis Wrestling again and we'll get our fix.
We're a little more flex.
Bill Dundee. How many fucking auto body shops and fucking repair fucking commercials in fucking Memphis? Jesus Christ.
Awesome.
But all the fucking cars breaking down in Memphis constantly that they need fucking like 9 fucking mechanics over there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a wrestler, probably did. They're doing thousands of miles. So
all right, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Well, this was fun. I'm glad we decided to do this in the morning. Yeah. I'm also glad that we had a bunch of people joining us today for an early show, which was a nice surprise.
Always appreciate that.
Means everybody gets a chance to watch some wrestling tonight. You know, instead of choosing between us and them, which, we know you guys always choose us anyway. And don't forget, we got a Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. $3 a month gets you the entire archive, including all new bonus episodes. And of course, you can spend a little bit more, become a producer, spend a little bit more. You can hang out with us. We haven't done a hang in a while. We should do a hang.
We should. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, those are always fun.
And apologies, both Double T and I have been crazy busy, which is why we haven't gotten you a new Wizards Rewind or whatever we're calling it, Wizards History. And not HK and Brundo, even though they're busy, they keep finding the time to pump out the HK JJ Rogue Chronicles. That son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Boy, and I think the next episode is actually the first time I run a show solo.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it in Wabasha?
No, it was actually at Ollie's.
Oh, no shit.
No shit. Yeah. So it'll be a really, really fun episode, the next one. I'm guaranteeing it.
Yeah, I always look forward to those episodes, just like I'm looking forward to head out to Minnesota in about a month with Double T. Should be real good times.
Oh yeah.
Next week we're bringing back the guests.
Oh, who do we got next week, Brundo?
We got AEW/ROH's Jack Jameson joining us, hopefully, for the podcast at 8:30 next week. So if you've ever seen Jack Jameson, he really likes to put his face between people's chests and, you know, make the funny noise or whatever, the thing.
Motorboating,
absolutely. I think it'll be a fun guest.
I don't know which move I find less sexy, motorboating or twerking. I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up. I don't know.
Good point.
Is that how it's there, to fly?
Oh, all right, well, maybe Double T joins us next week, maybe not. I don't know. This is his idea, and then he fucking shits on us. So thanks, buddy. Love you, miss you. And with that, let's cue the motherfucking music. Oh boy.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network. For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
Another job I got to do today. I guess here we go. We want to thank those who continue to support us each and every day, including our producers. We got our executive producer, Manny Kratzo. Our producers, Kate Hensler, Al Day, Ryan Schlong, High Five Tom, David Henry Bauer III, Roll, Keith Parker, Kathy Hummer, Emily Brock, Jesse Elwell, and of course, I Dunk Biscuits.
Go! Night, Diana.